Welcome to episode 16 of the Upper Elementary Simplified podcast. Today, I'm continuing with the third part of my four-part series about math workshop in upper elementary. The past 2 weeks, we have been working through the MATH acronym, and so far, we have discussed math fact practice and at your seat practice. These two topics were covered in episodes 12 and 14. Today, we are going to be moving on to the third letter, which is T. So let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to Upper Elementary Simplified, the podcast where busy and overwhelmed teachers find thoughtful ideas to get students engaged in meaningful learning experiences. Hi, I'm Dana Rodebush, former fifth grade classroom teacher and founder of Teacher Tech Studio. I'm here to share practical tips and strategies that will help you grow as an educator. If you are a tired upper elementary teacher searching for ways to cut down your planning time while boosting student engagement, you are in the right spot. Are you ready? Let's simplify. Have you ever seen a light bulb flashing right above a student's head? I have, and it is one of the best teacher feelings you can ever have. So, not a literal light bulb, but there is that moment when you can just see in a student's expression that it just clicks. Everything you have been saying and each strategy you have come up with to make sense of the concept just seems to come together right then and there in a single moment, the light bulb moment. That is what small group instruction is all about. It's where the true magic of math instruction happens. And that is our topic of discussion for today's episode. The T in the MATH system stands for teacher time or table time. Believe it or not, upper elementary students love to work directly with their teacher. This is a prominent aspect of their school day routine that they really do look forward to and enjoy. When you call a small group of students to a table or to a special spot on the carpet to work with you closely on a particular math skill, they feel special and they get the much needed attention that so many of them are seeking. Dedicating time in your math schedule to invite students to work directly with you is beneficial to them because of the additional support they receive with the skill you are teaching, confidence building, and emotional connection with a trusted adult. But it is beneficial to you as the teacher because you are able to closely observe and monitor your students' learning, take observation notes, and keep detailed records of skills that you may need to reteach, provide targeted intervention for, or provide enrichment activities for. Today, I am going to talk about the three essential components of teacher time or table time that you should be incorporating into your regular weekly schedule. Summer is the perfect time to get some professional development hours completed. If you are listening to this in real time, I would love for you to join myself and several other math educators at this year's Cheerful Math Conference. This is a virtual upper elementary math conference loaded with video presentations, free gifts, and a chance for you to grow professionally in your pajamas. Find the link to the event in the show notes for today's episode or at upperelementarysimplified.com/math conference. I hope to see you there. There are two ways you can group your students for small group math instruction. The first way is by grouping students with differing levels of mastery or non-mastery of the target skill. And the second way, and the way that I prefer, is to group students with the same or similar levels of mastery or non-mastery of the target skill. As with most things in life, they each have their list of pros and cons. My suggestion is to meet with the students in the lowest performing group first and twice during the week if possible. The first time you meet with this group really should be a check-in to make sure they are okay with the new math skill. And then at the next meeting, you can work through the same differentiated lesson with them as you are planning with your other groups. Now, I am going to go into this in a lot more detail during my guided math series, which will be airing on the podcast in November. I know that seems like a long ways away, so if you want to get a head start or you are just really wanting to learn about guided math right now, you can go to my blog and check out my 10-part guided math series. I will link each of the articles in the show notes. You can find all of those links at upperelementarysimplified.com/episode16. So the first essential component of teacher time or small group instruction in the upper elementary math classroom is a guided math lesson with a hands-on activity. I like to start off with an introduction or a review of related math vocabulary, and then review the target skill with a couple of examples. Then students are ready to be led into the hands-on activity. This can be a variety of different activities, and it is great to change it up as much as you can to keep students interested and engaged. Anytime you can incorporate dice or cards or counters into an activity, students are going to love it. And bonus points if you can bring in a real-world concept. My favorite guided math lesson plan that I have ever created is for adding and subtracting decimal numbers. This math skill is super easy to create fun activities for because it lends itself so easily to real-world money applications. So this lesson plan allows students to pretend that they are in a restaurant and they are going through a series of scenarios with a menu and placing orders. And it's just so fun that they won't even realize that they are learning. I actually offer this guided math activity as a sample of my fifth grade math curriculum. So if you want to check it out, you can find it in the show notes at upperelementarysimplified.com/episode16. Your guided math lesson should involve some type of hands-on activity where students are engaged with practicing the math skill. You can choose to allow them to work together or independently, but it is important that you are available to guide them by answering questions, redirecting them when you see misconceptions, and simply observing and making notes. And this leads me to the number two essential component of small group math instruction, and that is note-taking and careful observation. As I mentioned, your job as the teacher during small group instruction is to be available to redirect if you see misconceptions. And you do this by observing your students closely as they work, not by completely guiding them, but by letting them work as you watch. I included note-taking as part of the observation component because if you are anything like me, you will need to write your thoughts down to be able to keep track of everything you have observed after seeing 6 or 7 groups of almost 30 students total, or even more depending on where you are teaching. When I was in the classroom, I kept a whole small group binder where I made notes for each student during our math meetings. If you do this, you can refer back to your observations later and see growth or find patterns or to just even remember something that happened or was discussed during that group time. Number three on our list of essential components of small group math instruction is formative assessment from beginning to end. As teachers, we are always, always assessing our students, and small group instruction is no different. In fact, we probably assess more so during small groups because with fewer students, it is easier to keep track of what they are doing. It's easier to provide targeted questioning, and it's more likely that the assessment can be followed up with immediate feedback. So when I say that you should be providing formative assessment from beginning to end, first of all, formative is very informal. It's ongoing, never ending, allows you to provide feedback, and is beneficial for both you and the student. But it starts at the very beginning of small group time because you should be using assessment to even place your students into groups. Once they are in a group, then you can start using direct observation to make sure they are practicing the skill correctly and redirecting as necessary. This assessment leads all the way to the very end of your teacher time because I recommend a simple exit ticket style assessment at the end of every small group lesson. In all of my guided math lesson plans, there is an assessment for the students to write anything they can about that particular concept. For example, on the adding and subtracting decimals lesson I mentioned earlier, the assessment directs the teacher to give each student a blank index card, then to show them the expression 5 42/100 times 2 6/10. And then have them record it at the top of their card. Then it says to ask them to write anything they can about that expression on their card. The feedback from students will give the teacher a snapshot into their learning and understanding, and it can be reviewed later after the noise and the chaos of the small group and all of the other activities in the room, all of that has quieted down. Then decisions can be made about how to move forward with instruction. So, a quick recap of the three essential components of small group math instruction in the upper elementary classroom. Number one is a guided math lesson with a hands-on activity. Number two is note-taking and careful observation. And number three is formative assessment from beginning to end. Next Tuesday, we will end our series by discussing the H in the MATH system of math workshop. So I hope you will come back and listen to that. Be sure to check out the links for today's episode at upperelementarysimplified.com/episode16 and tune in this Thursday as we discuss novel studies in upper elementary. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Upper Elementary Simplified. I hope you are able to take away something useful that will help you grow as a teacher. I do have a quick favor to ask before you go. If you are enjoying the podcast, please let me know by leaving me a review. It really does make a difference because reviews impact search results, which helps me to expand my reach to other educators. Plus, I love to read my listeners' comments. Until next time, keep life simple.